ho, ho! This is the voice of Santa Claus. Welcome to GLHF Podcast. I'm the guest this week. Ho, ho, ho! Or as I say to the adults, whore, whore, whore. That's the whole saying, but Mrs. Claus doesn't let me say that. I hear your name is Austin.
Do I...
I'm talking to you in your head right now. I'm in your consciousness.
Santa's in my dome right now. You sound just like how I imagine Santa, and you also called me a whore 3 times, which is what I expect Santa to do.
I heard your prayers from, let me check my list. Looks like about over a decade now. Sorry, I'm really behind on these orders, but I heard you really wanted more than anything else a membership to Habbo Club and some Habbo credits, am I right?
Wow, that has been over a decade. I probably first had that thought in approximately 2008.
Yes, I was watching you, as you know, I watch you in your bedroom every night, as I do everyone in the entire world, and I saw you praying next to your bed one night.
That's why you called me a whore. I can't believe that's how this is starting.
Merry Christmas!
For the record, I didn't know Santa was going to even be here. Okay, I'm just talking to Santa now, and I didn't know this was going to happen. I was not given any warning that I was about to have my wishes granted and also be degraded on my own podcast, but I'm happy.
Merry Christmas! I've given you your heart's desire.
Wow, I actually do, unironically, have... Well, I currently have 6 Habbo credits, but I do have... How do I see my Habbo membership? I have a Habbo membership. Thank you, Santa.
You're welcome. Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. That was just a little joke.
Oh,
it's
my
mom.
God. I should have known it was you by the way you were talking to me.
Ha ha ha. It's just ma'am. Here I am.
All right. This will be easier. I wasn't sure how I was going to do a full hour of banter with Santa Claus. So I'm
Imagine
glad that
I
it's
did
actually
that.
You.
Imagine I did that for an hour. Somebody else came in you here could... and left. They were intimidated by you.
I saw that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was me that they were intimidated by. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Santa Claus reveal.
Well, they can't hear me. Thank God.
Yeah, that'd be cool if we could find a way to do a podcast and have everyone hear our voice and then they can participate. That would not work at all, but...
It would not work,
I'm glad
but I have
you,
thought about it.
I'm really glad you greeted everyone this episode. You said, hi, everyone, welcome to the podcast.
I'll
be honest, I listened to these last 2 episodes and as soon as I hit play, I was like... This isn't right. We should be greeting everyone.
Wow.
This is not, it doesn't feel right.
Character
not
growth.
Not to say hello.
Changed your mind.
So someone, I don't think it should be drawn out, but I did miss it. I'll be honest. I missed it when I just started it and I don't even remember what topic we were talking. Oh, it was like Indiana Jones or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, it doesn't feel right. It really doesn't. So,
yeah.
Mea culpa.
I did that because I did see some comments that people were like, I missed the intro. And you know what? I should have stuck to my gut. I gave in to peer pressure. And I will say welcome every time from here on out.
Yeah. And you know, if then I can choose whether or not to say it, which is great because I could just go into a topic mm-hmm. or I could say hi to you. Mm-hmm. So it's like the best of both worlds. So I appreciate it. I like it.
So we're in Habbo Hotel. Oh my God. Jinx.
Yeah. Cute.
We both
Can we back up for a second?
Yeah.
What was that? What was that with the Santa thing, with the ho 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 thing? Where did you just came up with that?
I came up with it about 5 minutes before we started recording.
That was really funny.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because I did buy Austin the credits. I forced him to give me his Venmo so that I could pay for it.
Well, I'm specifically talking about the 3 repeated words that you did that I'm no longer going to say for the rest of the episode because I got it out of my system. But like that, so you just like were like, here's what I'm going to say. And you just came up with that.
Well, you know, don't we all think that when we hear Santa say ho, 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 we're like, that's kind of inappropriate. He shouldn't be calling people that.
No, I don't think that, but now I do.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, it felt like you punched me in the face when you did the second sentence of that joke. Anyway, the point is I loved it.
Now I'm self-conscious about how I say mm-hmm, because you said I sound sarcastic earlier. Mm-hmm.
So, well, let's do a role play. I'm going to say something.
Oh, role play number two of the day. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is, yeah, we're doing a bit again.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say something and you just say mm-hmm, okay?
Uh-huh.
And we'll see if it feels condescending, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ma'am, I feel like extremely depressed about my life and I really don't know what to do with myself. And I just don't know if it's worth it to keep on living.
Mm-hmm.
See, it sounds pretty condescending now that you hear it.
I think that was a setup.
It was.
Yeah.
That was my bit of the day, was trying to make you come across as condescending when actually you're a deeply loving and wonderful person.
Thank you. I agree.
You're welcome.
We can
actually do the podcast now. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to introduce where we are. This is, because, of course, the poor people in our audience have definitely never seen this location. We're in the House of Flying Carrots, which is a Habbo Club member exclusive area. And I was saying, you know, I'm not really sure. Like, House of Flying Carrots does not give, in my mind, the image of what this place is. But I'm describing it as like, it's like a Chinese palace. There's like some kind of Chinese character on the ground. There's dragons. There's a beautiful fountain.
You know what there aren't any of, which to my great chagrin?
Carrots.
I know.
Not a carrot to be found. And let me tell you, there's a carrot item you can buy because I just saw it in the catalog when I was shopping.
I hope that you purchased it for your room so that I can see it. Okay. Just leave it. It'll be a surprise. It'll be a surprise.
Just wait outside the door for like 30 seconds when we go over there.
Got it. Okay. Understood.
Because yes, I definitely
I'll just hear like crashing
carrot.
And rustling.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a knock on the door and I'll turn around and it's the Whole Foods delivery man.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done that? Grocery delivery?
No. I think that's a little bit insane.
Nope. Wrong. Here's why. Think about this. It, for me anyway, takes me probably 2 hours to go grocery shopping, right?
Uh-huh.
Because I get really overwhelmed by the grocery store. You got to drive there. You got to wait in the line. You don't know where anything is because they're always moving stuff around. That 2 hours, even if I'm paying myself minimum wage, $15 an hour, that $30 of that 2 hours of work is more than the cost of tipping the driver. It's a no-brainer. Is it not?
Have you thought of making a list so that it doesn't take you 2 hours?
Yes, I've done that, and it only makes it worse because I never remember to, like, the list is not organized, and again, they move everything around in the store, and so then I end up having to, like...
You're going to, like, some kind of fun house grocery store that's moving
stuff
every time.
No, the Whole Foods, every time I go on that Whole Foods, everything
is different.
First
mistake is going in Whole Foods. Why do you want to spend $300?
What are you talking about? $300?
Whole Foods is so expensive.
Oh, that's my first mistake. I thought you said Christmas steak. I was like, what are you talking about buying a Christmas steak for $300? No, my first mistake. Okay. Unfortunately, down in this wonderful land of New Orleans, that's the only place you can get food and it's actually in stock when you go to the store. It's the only grocery store. Before that Whole Foods opened up, it was a coin toss whether your stuff you wanted was actually going to be there, and the produce sucked. That Whole Foods saved my ability to get good produce in New Orleans. So shout out Whole Foods, shout out Bezos, shout out Amazon for giving me a decent grocery store. There is one other grocery store that's okay, but it's like even more expensive than Whole Foods, and it's teeny tiny. So I'm fine with the Whole Foods in this context because all it did was improve my outcomes.
Yeah, freaking rich sponsored YouTubers going to Whole Foods.
Right. Never beating the CEO sympathizer allegations.
You're going to move to LA. You're going to start going to Erewhon.
Oh, God.
Do you know what that is?
If I move to LA, you need to go to the nearest hunting boutique and purchase some kind of sniper rifle and just take me out. Luigi style.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was a little
right
throwback
me.
Of me saying, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a throwback to the Luigi segment.
I know we've been missing out on the Luigi segment, but I don't really have anything else to say about it.
Not a lot of updates, yeah, right now. We're just kind of... See, I do have one thing that I think is really funny to me.
Are you seeing that What the heck is his name? Billy Joe something from Green Day is here.
Oh my God, Billy Joe Armstrong.
Billy Joe Armstrong is here.
I might go sit with him.
And he's speaking. Let's see if... I don't know who he thinks he's talking to.
I'll say, sup.
Yeah, that's really
he
cool.
He says, Koofy. He's buying a Koofy. Oh my God, he's speaking. What is going on? Oh, this is the crazy person. Not the crazy person, but the NPC. Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's getting crowded in here.
Yeah,
oh,
I gotta
he sat with
back.
You and you immediately left.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me go back. Let me go back. Let me go back.
He sat with you and you immediately got up as he sat down.
I think it's really funny because... Actually, you know what? I don't even want to talk about Luigi anymore. I'm just going to get myself into more trouble.
No,
we're
same.
Just going to sit here and have a conversation with Billy Joe.
I think we should not talk about Luigi.
Agreed. Yeah. He's gotten enough attention from us for the time being. But... We'll talk about him again.
I said,
later.
Are you Billy Joe from Green Day?
Oh, you did say that. Is he going to reply? I guess we'll see.
Whoa, why are there so many people in here? Did somebody like start a party in here and invite people?
Well, people are getting off work, you know, getting off work, coming into Habbo Hotel. I got to say, you know, we've talked about this a lot. Well, have we talked about it a lot? I don't even know. I've talked about this a lot. Like looking at a 2D isometric game, I think it's like one of the most immersive things. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the most immersive types of games. Because like I was telling you before we started, it's like looking at a Where's Waldo book, which is also a very immersive experience. Or like those old books where it's like a cross-section of the Titanic.
I was
going
to say the cross-sections. I loved the cross-sections.
Yes. Why have they not? That's what I'm going to do. I need to get in touch with people. We're going to put out a cross-sections book. I don't know what of, but that's what I want to. That's going to be my life's work.
Oh my God, I want one of... Video game consoles.
That would be sweet. Yeah, let's do that. We're going to put out a series of cross-section books.
Or just computers in general.
Yeah, computers and video game consoles. Anything. Phones, like just technology.
And if anybody listening steals this idea, we will sue you.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do it better than anyone ever could. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to worry. But yeah, I just really love looking at Habbo Hotel. I think the art style is excellent, and it fills me with great joy. I feel similarly when I play Stardew Valley, but I like how Habbo looks even more.
Yeah.
And I wish more people made games that look like this.
Awesome. I think because you can like see all the details of everything just looking at one image.
Yes.
And you can like choose
like
what
you...
to focus on.
Yeah, you're making that choice of like where you're looking. So you're like taking a journey through the whole scene with your own eyes, which is in a way, it really gets your imagination going, like reading a book. So I'm a big fan. If I ever make a video game, it's going to look like Habbo Hotel. Mark my words.
Hell yeah.
Do you have anything you want to talk about this week? Do you have anything on your mind? New year, 2025?
Well, I had some like responses to comments. Maybe we do that first. Hold on.
Well, we can go to a different public place in Habbo Hotel, too, if
okay,
we want.
Okay, okay. Where is the pool that you would troll people at? Oh, this one. I came in here earlier, and it freaking showed me on the TV. It was scary.
It's doing it right now.
Like showing you?
It's showing both of us.
Yeah. I noted down some comments from the last... It might have been two episodes ago, because we recorded two in a row, if you noticed.
Did they know? They probably didn't notice. We were pretty slick with it.
Well, because some aviation events happened after that aviation event list.
Yeah.
But so one thing was that people wanted the intro again, so I'm doing the intro again. You're welcome. I'm just so kind like that. I thought something was interesting. Whenever we were talking about teleportation, the rules of teleportation in Star Trek.
Yeah.
And I was like, Star Trek nerds, let me know what's going on. A Star Trek nerd did respond and like wrote out this thing that basically said that in Star Trek, it's canon that people have souls and your soul is transported through the transporter. And that's the explanation that you are the same person because people canonically have souls in Star Trek. And I just thought that was fascinating.
Okay. Sure. That's not really an explanation. That's just saying... How do they explain how it's the same person? Oh, well, it's the same person because it is. That's basically what that answer is, isn't it?
Right. They're
just saying like, well, it's the same because it's the same. And I was curious, like, what's their canonical technology. First of all, what do you mean as canon they have souls? That's funny. But what's the?
It is funny.
Because someone had said something like, well, you know, there's this theory that like all of the information that goes into a black hole is technically still stored, even though it's totally scrambled up. Like the information, which I think means something very specific in the scientific context that I don't totally understand.
Right.
But the information is stored. And I think the idea is basically like, yes, you turn your body into light, but the information of every single atom is preserved in the light. In the same way that like when you send in like a phone call, like my voice is turned into light and is going to you right now over the internet, over Wi-Fi. But I don't think anyone would argue that it's my voice that you're hearing right now, right?
Yeah.
You feel me?
I feel you. Facts.
So thank you much. I like that. Yes. Say facts to me more.
Okay.
So that I thought it was interesting. I didn't read the one about the soul. I think that's pretty funny, but so they're saying that in Star Trek, it is the same person on both ends.
Yeah, so
they did address it.
Yeah, you're totally right that it is just, it's like a non-explanation, but I just thought that was funny because, you know, there are specific Star Trek episodes that are weirdly kind of like spiritual, I guess you would say, where it's like not quite sci-fi. They're like actually, because I mean, there's a freaking psychic in Next Generation. There's a woman on this ship that's just a psychic.
And do they do the thing where it's like, she's a psychic, but then Spock is like, I know Spock's not a Next Generation, but you know what I'm saying, is like, or Data is like, well, this surely she's using some sort of technical, or is it they're actually like, no, this lady's legit psychic. It's supernatural.
I don't know. I think it's like, I don't know. It's some kind of ability of hers that's genetic, maybe. I don't really remember. I haven't watched Next Generation in a long time. But yeah. It just is funny how there's certain parts of Star Trek that just kind of are magic mixed in with all this stuff that actually has like scientific explanations. It's an interesting vibe.
Oh, it's kind of what's cool about it is just like they really are not loose with the rules, but they are loose with the themes. And that's the whole point of it, is it's just a way for them to explore a whole bunch of different fascinating things about being a person and the conundrums that we find ourselves in and the things we think about. So shout out Star Trek. Ever since that Timothée Chalamet interview, I cannot stop saying shout out.
Wait, what was he saying?
He was just shouting out everything. He was getting interviewed by Nardwar. He was like, shout out Colorado, shout out Hans Zimmer. He shouted out every single thing that came up. Very funny, but now I can't stop saying it. It's not good. So we're all just going to have to deal with this. This is my new hyperfixation, is saying shout out. So that's life.
And then something else I wanted to say was, somebody said, when you were talking about, can I buy every seat on the plane? Apparently somebody does that in the TV show Lost. So therefore
they did do that. Yes.
We know it's possible because it happened in Lost.
Everything that happens in Lost is, canon for IRL.
IRL canon, otherwise known as reality and facts.
Yes, exactly.
Facts
this
and logic.
This is the second, reminds us of when we were talking about flat earthers is like earth fan fiction. It's like earth canon is another thing.
Yeah. I wasn't really going to mention this, but I have a new flat earth theory that I'm putting forth right now as a potential flat earther, I guess. This is my like application to the club.
Okay. Yeah, they'll hear it. Someone in there. Statistically, how many flat earthers are there and how many listeners? We got like 5,000 listeners on this show. One of them's got to be, right? One of you guys out there is listening.
Hopefully.
Holding your tongue every time we talk about round earth.
So let me know what you think of this, because I don't think I've heard this one before. Maybe this is one, but my theory is God, first of all, God exists. Second of all, God wants us, for some reason beyond our comprehension, to think the earth is round. But it is, in fact, flat.
Okay. But which then...
God is making the stars and the sun and the moon act in such a way that it appears the earth is round, because that's what he wants us to believe.
This is pretty similar to, like, every conspiracy theory in terms of people use that with the government and stuff. It's like, well, it only looks that it's the way that it is because they want it to look that way. And because there's like an alternative
thing. But I'm raising it above the government. I'm saying God himself actually is in on it.
Which is smart because it's even less impeachable, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you can't argue against God. It's like, but in a way, isn't that what people say about the dinosaurs? Like God put the dinosaur bones there to confuse us, to make it look like the earth was way older than it is.
Right. And like, so, but then it's like sinful to believe in dinosaurs. So it's like only these people that are denying it, like know the truth, I guess. I guess that is what I'm saying.
Can I tell you something about dinosaurs? This is a new thing, I think.
I'd love it.
Because, you know, I feel like the further into life we get, the more we end up having to talk to these people. By these people, I mean you and your flat earth theories. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we need to come up with a set of questions that anytime you're going to talk about anything remotely political, or maybe just anytime you meet anyone, we need to ask people like five basic questions. One of them needs to be, do you believe dinosaurs are real? Because you really quickly need to get an assessment of like where people's mental state is. Do you believe dinosaurs are real? Do you think we've been contacted by aliens? Are vaccines real? We just need like a set of like a questionnaire for any time you sit down and talk to someone and you're trying to have a serious conversation. The first thing you should do is ask.
Right. But you might be getting into dangerous territory for yourself there, because a lot of people would say one of those questions would be, do you believe in astrology?
Okay, let me clarify. I'm not advocating these questions as a way to be like, oh, okay, you're an idiot, I'm not talking to you.
Okay.
I'm advocating them just as, I need to know where you stand on this, because if I know you don't believe in dinosaurs, our conversation about whatever thing about vaccines is going to be way different than if you do believe in dinosaurs, because I know them where you're sitting. If I say I do believe in astrology, our conversation about, you know, the economy might look a little bit different than if I say I don't believe in astrology. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't mean it as like a gotcha by any means. I'm not trying to just say like, am I talking to an idiot or not?
Well, cause some people do say that. They're like, these are all the questions I ask on a first date to just rule people out immediately.
You know what? Now you literally just said that out loud. I almost threw up, and now I take back everything I just said. We're not going to
That's what create that reminded
efficiency
me of.
In our social interactions. Okay. Thank you. We're undoing it. I take it all back. No, thank you. Just talk to people like a human being.
Yeah, that's
my answer.
Yes.
Thank you and goodbye.
I agree.
I saw you left a response to one of our comments approximately 16 hours ago that...
just finally going through the comments on the last one.
It was a little... You threw me under the bus a little bit. Okay.
Oh.
Someone said... Oh. Watching the very beginning and very end of movies just so you can fake your way into saying you watch them is insane behavior. You responded and said, agree.
Didn't I say that on the pod?
Did you have something
too?
To tell me? I don't think so. I expected you to, which is, I think, why I was trying to bait you into saying it. I mean, it's true that I do that sometimes, but I like
it.
Yeah,
it is insane.
You're getting at me in the comments. I'm going
to
start commenting on people and saying I agree with people who say you're wrong, but I don't know if anyone ever says that.
We can just have a passive aggressive fight in the comments every time.
I like it. See, look at this. Any Austin just watching the last 20 minutes of movies is unhinged and beautiful. That's my kind of guy. John Lee Cooper, shout out, 8520.
So you don't mind if people admit that it's unhinged as long as they also say it's beautiful?
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, you can say anything you want about me as long as the end of it is beautiful.
Okay, noted.
Yeah. Don't hold me to that. But try it out next week and we'll see how I feel about it.
Okay, shall
people
we...
People in the comments are going to be saying like, you piece of fucking garbage and beautiful.
I kind of love that though.
I mean, it helps because it makes me feel like, you know, you...
That
you
sounds
see me
like
as a person.
You know, that sounds like one of these romance movies where they're like... They're like enemies to lovers, or they have this like antagonistic relationship, but they're like still passionate about each other because
yes.
They're like insulting, but then,
way.
But you're so beautiful. That's what it
yes.
sounds like.
That's the relationship I want with my audience, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like I want them to hate me, but also not be able to stop looking at me.
Hateful, you know? But passionate and obsessed.
Exactly. I want people obsessed with me.
That's how you want all 500,000 people to be.
Excuse me. 600,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Get it right.
I actually, I wasn't sure and I would have guessed 400. So I guess I'm way lowballing you. I'm sorry.
We're cruising. At the start of this, start of last year, I remember I was setting all my goals for the year and I think I was at like 90K at this. No. I was at like 110 or something. I don't even remember where I was at. But I remember setting the goal to be like 200 or 250.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I was talking to Ashlyn
and she was like, you should aim for something that you think is unattainable. And I said, you know what? We're going to go big. We're going to go 300. Look at us now. We're cruising. Like this podcast has got thousands of listeners. I mean, we're just having a great time. It sounded like you wanted to say that you wanted to move to a new place. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe you want to give me a tour of your room.
I would love nothing more. How do I do that? Yeah, I would love for you to see the room I've set up. For the people listening, obviously, if you're just listening, you're not going to be able to see this, but we've both set up a room to do the podcast and for one another.
Here we go.
I think
we're zoomed in because it's a smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing I love,
thoughts?
I think, about the... Okay, right. I'm seeing a lot of televisions, actually, now that I look at it.
A lot of televisions, yeah. But think about it. What are we really seeing here? First of all, come sit on the chair. This is a podcast chair.
Yeah. I'm seeing kind of an interesting, like, metaphorical switch up of what it is to be a YouTuber, because it kind of looks like we're being watched, but by TVs instead of people.
Right.
So it's like a bit of a role reversal. Like we're being watched by the entertainment.
Yeah. And so think of it like this, right? As YouTubers, what do we do, me and you? We find beautiful things and we show it to the people. So mm-hmm. what we're doing right here is me and you are sitting looking at a bonsai tree, the beautiful thing, and we're the conduit for all of the people on the screen to see the beautiful thing. So it's the TVs are watching us and we're watching the bonsai tree. Now, I just made all that up right now. I was not thinking of anything while I put all these TVs down. I just thought it looked cool. But I love that you went there and we found meaning in my room. So these are my 16 televisions and one bonsai tree.
Yeah. I just saw you tweeting something about trying to get 1 million TVs. So was that inspired by this?
Yeah. Maybe it was kind of subconsciously. I just got off. I had a call with these people who do my sponsorships, but they also like just kind of do anything I need. And I was talking to them about that, asking if they could help me because I'm trying to get, I'm not going to say what the exact idea for the video is right now because I don't want anyone to take it. Not that anyone else would, I guess, go to those lengths, but I do want to obtain televisions from like 8 very specific years. Now, if people really did the research and looked at what those years represented, they could probably figure out what the video has to do with. It does have to do with video games. But it's going to be fun because I think it's going to have to require either getting in touch with like a museum or some sort of like old TV restoration person somewhere and like going to meet them and
that'd be
cool.
So
it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. Yeah. Hoping to have that video, do that video in like late summer, ideally. But yeah, maybe this was inspired by that. This is maybe I'll get all those TVs and I'll set up my real house to look like this. Just a load of TVs surrounding a bonsai tree.
What would you put on all the TVs, do you think, if you did that?
That's a good question.
I would probably put all of them on simultaneously.
The same movie on every single one, and each one it would be offset by 5 minutes so that any given time I could see the entire movie happening all around me and I could absorb it all at once. Because wouldn't that be cool? See, that would make it even quicker for me to say that I watched a movie. How many movies would you need? Because that means, in theory, if you take the length of a movie, like 2 hours, divided by 5 minutes, that's going to be, 24 5-minute segments. So you would need 24 TVs. And if you did that, you could watch the entirety of a single movie in 5 minutes. And if you got more TVs, you could even shorten the minutes. You could get it down to 1 minute, provided you wanted to have 100 TVs or so. But that's probably what I would do.
You might have created a new thing here, like speed running a movie. Because imagine doing that and then, like, that's like a challenge to do that and then have to write a plot summary.
Yeah.
And you only get to watch it for 5 minutes.
Yeah. And it's like you have judges who, like, that you have to hit a certain number of the plot points.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. Listen, I've always said that I'm a visionary. So that's what I would do. What would you do with 16 televisions?
I don't think I have anything much better than that. Maybe
it could be worse.
Maybe put like Nyan Cat on all of them.
Jesus
Full
Christ.
Full blast.
Did you ever, I don't know what your internet, where our crossover begins and end. Because like I know last time I said Kazaa and you didn't know what that was. But I know we have a lot of, like we both have Habbo Hotel experience, obviously. Did you ever know YTMND?
No.
Okay.
What are you saying?
YTMND was like a website. It stood for You're the Man Now, Dog. And it was a website that allowed you to make like a 5 second looping GIF and attach a 10 second looping sound to it. So you've probably seen memes that were made. Have you ever seen that Captain Jean-Luc Picard meme where it's singing about Captain Jean-Luc Picard or the Batman guy? It doesn't matter. Anyway, it was like a way of them basically hosting GIFs, and you could take a GIF and put a sound over it and text over it, and then it would just be.
Yeah,
you could
I've probably
Google
seen
up,
some
so.
Of these. I don't even you know if it's have, so yeah. much that the generational gap as much as there just used to be so many websites. So we were just on different websites.
Definitely. I think you're probably right. Yeah. Because like a lot of people talk about Badger, 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 Mushroom, you know, that thing.
Yes.
And I never was in that land. I never messed with it.
Yeah, I really
stuff.
Liked I
very...
this website called Lemon Party. That was what I was into.
I used to go on that website almost every day for about approximately 4 minutes.
Seriously?
Yeah. No, I used to go on a website called, it was called bigboys.com. And it was just like a video hosting website where it would be either videos of people seriously injuring themselves or like
classic.
Hot women. Classic internet stuff.
That's the only
and I
two
saw
things
so many
you
videos.
Need.
Yeah. And so it was, you would go on there and it would be like, here's the video of someone getting hurt of the day, and here's the hot woman of the day. I didn't see much of the hot women. I honestly spent most of the time looking at people lighting themselves on fire and stuff.
Ah.
Not like in a bad, well, not in a good way, but like there was this one video of a guy. It was like people who'd pour that liquid on them that if you light it on fire, it's okay, you know? So there's a guy in a banana suit who lit himself on fire. A guy
right, like
a
whatever
train.
They do for movies.
Yeah, there was these people throwing scissors at each other, and then the scissors got stuck in the guy's arm. Just crazy fun videos, you know, back mm-hmm. just good old time back in the day. So that's what I was on. You were on Lemon Party. I was on bigboys.com, which turned into break.com, which then got purchased maybe by Newgrounds. I can't remember.
Oh my gosh, so many websites.
Yeah, it's a good time back then. I think I honestly think there's a world where that could come back in some other form.
Well,
but
like,
I don't know.
Very
what
often
yet.
I think about just coding a bunch of random websites just for fun, which I could do, but then I end up playing video games instead.
I really think there's at some point going to be a world where some of that stuff gets popular again, or at the very least like becomes a viable subculture where like cool art is being made and culture is being formed that will then trickle onto the, what do they call it? The clear net, all of these big websites that everyone uses.
I'm sure there already are a bunch of people doing stuff like yeah. that. We're just not looking
true.
At it.
True. It might be Roblox, actually.
True. Oh my gosh. Facts.
Could be. I like that you're getting the hang of this facts thing. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Does it make me seem cooler?
Yeah. Well, not really. You already seem pretty cool because you always say, I can't believe I forgot. What's that thing you always say?
Slay?
Oh gosh. Slay, that's what it is. Yeah, you're always saying slay. So you're already like pretty cool.
You want to hear something I learned from my younger sister-in-law? She says,
sure.
Sliving, because it's like living plus slay.
Living and slaying?
Sliving.
I love that. Sliving. Sliving's pretty good. I feel like I'm sliving.
It sounded like you said slithing, like slithering like a snake.
Not doing that. Never would do that.
That also.
I don't slither and I don't wear costumes. Those are my two rules.
Did you have anything to say about the plane crashes we missed talking about last time?
Yeah, I just want to do a quick shout out plane crashes.
Shout out plane crashes.
Yeah, shout out plane crashes. Shout out ISIS. We're having a great start of the year. Great end of the year.
Shout
great
out
start
Korean
of the year.
Air or whoever it was, the Korean plane that crashed.
Yeah, it's a really interesting... So first of all, honest, genuine, earnest shout out pilots of the Kazakhstan one, because from what we can tell, Russia shot them down, and then Russia tried to prevent them from... They tried to direct them to crash in the water so no one would find out, and the pilots said, no, we're gonna try and land this in some way. And the fact that anyone survived that crash, based on what we think happened, which is effectively they had zero like lateral control over the plane at all, it's a pretty astonishing thing that they managed to get it on the ground in a way that anyone survived.
Mm-hmm.
So good for them. Shout out them. The
shout
Korean
out.
One is...
Facts.
Interesting is there facts Korean ones facts. I don't know. My guess is right now, because whole did you see that video?
Kind of, but it that stuff freaks me out. I don't really look at it on purpose.
Holy,
because I did have to go on a plane when like right after that happened, so
well,
I was trying not to think
you
about
is
it
there. It's very safe, you know, everyone, it's all is well. This is a crazy incident. It's really hard to tell what happened because, I mean, I'm sure you heard that basically what happened is they flew into a brick wall and exploded, which is a really confusing thing to have at the end of a runway, right? I'm sure more information is going to come out about why that happened and why it was there and so on and so forth. The great news is that because aviation is so wonderful, every airport now is going to get inspected for brick walls. And if they're there, they're going to remove them.
Brick wall
so
inspection.
Never happen again. Yeah, no, unironically, they probably will do something like that.
Yeah.
But it's weird because it was really a controlled landing. They were really, it was smooth, they were flat, but their landing gear wasn't down.
Yeah, they didn't have landing
weird.
Gear, right?
Yeah, they didn't put it down. And what's weird about that is that each set of landing gear on a Boeing plane, which I think this was, but honestly, on any plane, Airbus is the same way, and I assume other people would do it the same way. Every landing gear is its own independent. It has three independent hydraulic systems.
Yeah.
So you can have two of them fail and still work the landing gear. And then even if the third one fails, oh my God, someone's here. Someone's in my private room. This is creepy.
You must have made it public.
That's fine.
They were just peeking around the corner like a freak and then left.
Yeah, it was weird. She looked like a ghost. Even if that third hydraulic system fails, the landing gear, you can lower it by gravity. You have to like pull this lever and then it'll slowly fall into place and then it locks itself in. So
mm-hmm.
There's really the likelihood of being unable to do that is surprising. Now, my guess is what happened was, and I really appreciate you letting me rant on this subject because I'm very passionate.
Of course, I'm interested and you're the expert.
Yes, of course, I have approximately 85 hours of flying time.
It's more than zero.
It's more than zero. This is true. Probably what happened, and this is probably what's going to come out, is I think we heard that they came in for one landing, had an issue, and then went around to do it again. And we know that there were a lot of birds in the area at the time. So this is my guess, if I'm going to hypothesize. They came in, got hit by birds, sucked birds up into the engine, which does happen. We don't know if one or two, probably just one engine got blown out because they were still kind of able to take back off. They came back around, realized that one engine remaining... maybe it was failing or it just wasn't enough. All planes are built so that they can fly just on one engine and still climb and take off.
Right.
But there could have been something else going on. So my guess is there was an issue also with the second engine. They got overwhelmed and they thought, we got to get this thing down as fast as humanly possible. They came in too fast. They didn't go out far enough and they came in too steeply, which gave them way too much airspeed. They were freaking out about the airspeed because they're floating all the way down to the end of the runway at that point, and they know there's a brick wall, but they know they can't take off again. They're overwhelmed. Their situation awareness goes to zero. They forget to put the landing gear down. Bada bing, bada
boom.
They just
straight up forget.
It.
Yeah, because I guess what you're saying about there's so many like redundancy systems that it wouldn't make sense unless they forgot.
Yeah, and most catastrophic accidents are a result of pilot error. Maybe not most anymore. Definitely if you include, oh, this lady's back. If you include like what they call general aviation, which is just like idiots like me flying little planes around.
People are probably peeking in this room and they're so terrified by all these TVs and us just sitting here that they leave.
I will say, but notice that she left and came back because she couldn't stop thinking about it, probably. So
she's got to know what's going on. She's got to check if these two people are still sitting here silently, just looking at this tree.
That'd be so, we should, if only one of us could like die, like be dead on the ground, you know, or like dancing. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, that's my guess. I think that because stuff in an airplane is, it can really get overwhelming really fast if you fall behind. As long as you stay ahead of it, it's honestly not that hard to fly a plane. But if you get behind and you're not on top of it, you get tunnel vision so quickly. And you train a lot to practice and to make sure that that doesn't happen. But in a situation like that, it's not impossible to imagine how if enough stuff is going wrong and they're doing their best to get it on the ground, that they remembered 9 out of the 10 things they had to. And the one thing they didn't was, oh, we were coming in too fast, you know? And then when they notice that, they get it wrong. So that's my guess. We'll see what happens when it comes out. Maybe some crazy thing happened, but
it's still usually horrible to imagine like the feeling they would have when they start touching down and realize the landing gear's not down.
Well, but this is what's weird. You can land a plane without the landing gear. And it's like you probably will burn up some of the luggage and wreck the plane, but it's not, they're built like it's totally safe to do that.
The I thought real that other plane you talked about last time that landed on the side of the highway exploded.
Well, yeah, because they hit a sign and they flipped over. And but they had their landing gear down. They were just trying to land on the highway.
Why did you left? I don't know.
That's fine. Yeah, you can like land a 737 with no landing gear. Usually what they do is they spray the runway with a bunch of like fire extinguisher juice, you know, and then you just skid. You'll often like dump as much of your fuel as you can, so there's not as much to burn. But you can do that totally fine. So their real problem was they just seem to come in with way too much energy, way too much speed. And if they can't take off again, they don't have an option but to just gently fly it directly into a concrete wall, which is what happened. So, energy management, that's the main lesson.
Yeah. I saw flying like a TikTok about it, and everyone in the comments was like, hey, why was there a wall there?
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to say whether that's actually a crazy thing to have or not.
I don't know.
Yeah, it seems dumb. Definitely seems dumb, but we won't know till we know. So those are my aviation stories. Shout out to the Kazakh pilots, Kazakhstan airline pilots.
Shout out, Fax.
Those guys seem to do an excellent job. Rest in peace.
Honestly, shout out to Fax.
God bless. Shout out to Fax. Shout out to waiting for information before you rush to judgment, which is kind of what I didn't just do since I was making a conclusion on an active investigation.
No, that's not what podcasts are about.
Yeah, shout out Fax, but also shout out lies. Shout out lies.
Yes, we're here to lie. Do you want to see my room?
I would love to.
I think you might have knock to get into mine.
Oh, I do. Yes, you're right. This door is locked. Ringing the bell.
Open the door.
That's so cute.
Okay,
whoa,
welcome.
Whoa, this place is gigantic and kind of like a church.
There's a lot to explain here. Let me just walk
you
through.
Yeah, what am I looking at? Do you want me to describe what I'm seeing, or do you want to give me a tour? Because we'll have to be very visually, like our words are going to have to be very descriptive for all the people.
Right. I think maybe you can describe what you're seeing and just ask me any questions you have.
Okay. So we have a big room with tile on the ground. It's a big, big room. It's kind of in a big L shape, sort of, maybe a V shape. I don't know how you want to say that. Kind of has auditorium or church vibes. I'm seeing, are these candles in all the corners?
Yes, red candles in each corner of the
red candles
main
in
area.
Each corner. Very brightly lit, borderline fluorescent. We got a set of audience chairs and a jukebox. And then there's a stage area on which there's a couch. I presume that's for us.
Yes.
And a porta potty. I assume that's for us. And a Christmas tree. I assume that's for us. And a fire
extinguisher. You're welcome to come sit on the podcast set over here.
I'm going to come sit on the podcast set. Should I be in the guest chair or on the couch?
I think you take the chair. You take the chair.
Okay, cool.
Because this couch that I'm sitting on is the one item in here that is Hobble Club exclusive. I don't know if you noticed, you have like a gift that is because you're in the Hobble Club.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like a special thing, I guess. Sidebar, but I realized there's not actually like a section in the catalog that's Habbo Club exclusive things you can just buy. I guess you just get the HC exclusive things for every month that you're subscribed. So when I was looking up how you get them, somebody was like, oh yeah, just buy the 12 months and they'll give you 12 right away. 12 months is $65. Yikes. I'm not doing that.
Okay, is that expensive?
I don't know. You've been talking this whole time about how much of a deal this is.
This
but
is
I do
want
to mention for the viewers looking at this right now, okay? I spent almost all of my 100 credits on this room. This is $10 of real money. So you can decide for yourself if this was worth it. This is $10.
Here's most video games, people like, or maybe they don't do this, but most people are willing, if it's a game they like, to pay $70 for a video game that they play for a month or two. $60 for 12 months of exceptional Habbo Hotel experiences seems pretty good. Seems like a smash hit deal to me.
That doesn't even come with any coins, though. You have to buy the coins separately, and you're only getting one furniture item a month that they're giving you for the membership.
Okay, but even if then you spend $50 on coins, $110, you have a great year with Habbo Hotel. You make friends. We should record a podcast, you know? Can I also mention that all the way at the back of the auditorium you've put together on the very far wall, completely removed from everything else, there is a single toilet with a pink lid.
Yes.
Why is that there?
That's in case anyone in the audience has to go to the bathroom. But they can still
actually
watch
let
the
me
show.
Sit on it?
They
I'm
don't have
go
to
try
miss
and sit on it.
You know when you're in a movie and you really got to pee, but you don't want to miss any of the movie? This is going to solve that problem for the viewers of our podcast.
Does it flush?
I'm not sure.
No, I mean, like, if you had a theater, like, in the canon, are you going to allow people to flush it during the movie? Or are you just going to let it build up and then flush it all at the end?
Yeah, it's probably more polite if you want to wait. I would
you
say,
don't have to be loud.
You know, number one, you don't have to flush. Number two, you should flush it so it doesn't stink
okay,
up.
Okay, but so then everyone will know if you've gone number two.
Well, yeah, there's a trade-off, I guess, because they'll know, but they won't smell it as much. Because if you just leave it stinking
You think if we put out a call and said that we were going to record one of these podcasts in Habbo Hotel, we could actually get people to show up and sit in the audience?
Yeah,
probably. Because it's free to join Habbo Hotel. We'd have to, like, live stream the show, though, so they're not just sitting and looking at us in silence.
That would be so funny. They just have to sit there for an hour and they don't hear anything.
You guys are going to commit to this bit. You're just going to sit there so we can record it. It's not going to be any fun.
We would just make...
Or we can just get them, add them to the Discord call and then they can heckle us from the audience.
Well, I was going to say we could make like a voice room in your Discord or something.
That could be kind of fun. I think it could be fun to do a podcast via Discord that includes an audience which has the option to heckle you if you want. Except it'd probably be so chaotic. But I bet we could get 20 people who could commit to being quiet.
Yeah, we need to think about that. Anyway, so let me, like, everything in here has a purpose, so I want to kind of explain. There's a couple of stools by the door that's the waiting room. You know, if anybody gets here a little early, they can sit on those stools. Then we have the audience chairs. We have the candles in the corner to keep away any demons. This is where you're going to sit and watch us do the pod. Like I said, there's a toilet in case you got to go.
I have a toilet over here too, huh?
Yes, well, I'm getting to that. We have our little Christmas tree. This is our Christmas spirit. The leaves fell off, but that's to be expected. It's already, what is it today? We're recording this on January 2nd, so it's the season where your Christmas tree starts dying. This brown trophy in the back, I don't know if you can actually go over here and read it somehow, but it says 4,000 subscribers, the most on Earth, because now that's how many our podcast has. This
Whoa.
Is our 4,000
We have 4,000 subscribers?
Yeah. Congrats to us.
Man, we haven't even done any work. That's amazing. All right. Incredible. This is going to be the biggest podcast. We're going to be bigger than Rogan.
This little mini fridge is full of G Fuel because we need that to survive.
Okay. Sick. All right. I'm going to go get some.
There's a hammer behind us. Self-explanatory.
In case we got to reenact an early 2000s internet video. I shouldn't have said that. That was horrible. I'm sorry.
The porta potty is now my full vision for this room was I was going to spend some credits on rollers. I don't know if any of you Habbo fans of the past know what rollers are, but people would use them to make like game rooms or maze rooms because you step on them and they move you around the room. They're like, what's it called? In a factory.
Like treadmills, kind of. Or yeah, what's it called?
Conveyor belt.
I just made a video about a conveyor belt, yeah.
They're like conveyor belts you stand on. I was going to have some rollers leading from the seating area into the porta potty. And that was going to be for when we say something cancelable, we go straight into this porta potty, which is actually a teleporter to hell, just straight to hell.
Is it currently a functioning teleporter to hell, or you haven't done that yet?
I haven't done that yet. I'm not sure how the teleporters work. I like bought the teleport, and then it gave me two of these porta potties. So I guess we could test it out and see if I can put one in your room. And if
we should do that.
If that connects our rooms.
Yeah. Do we want to just turn this into a let's play of Habbo Hotel, though, for our audio listeners?
I'm trying not to do that because it is supposed to be a podcast. And I do have some more stuff to talk
about. If we come back
to
Habbo Hotel, which we could because we've built these wonderful sets, it might make sense to come back. Then maybe we can do a little bit of that extra business.
Anyway, I didn't end up buying the rollers because 5 rollers is 25 credits. That was 25% of my money. It was just a lot. So I settled for we'll just have to hold ourselves accountable and walk into the porta potty if need be. And then if we say something that's like only maybe half cancelable, that like perhaps we could come out with an apology video and fix, then we just have this little timeout stool and I'll demonstrate right here. We just have to sit over there.
Okay. Would you, if we'd been sitting here when you did your Santa Claus impression, could I have kicked you into the porta potty for your Santa Claus impression at the start of this episode?
I don't think you have that kind of power. This is my domain.
Well, who does then? You?
Yeah.
So it's if I say something cancelable.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't making the connection that you were saying it was cancelable. I thought you just didn't like it. I guess
no,
that's the
problem. No, it was cancelable and I didn't like it.
I guess that's the problem is where's the line there? Cancelable to you might not be cancelable to others. I don't know. I haven't worked on this out
democracy.
Yet. I think this is why maybe we need audience members. Maybe they decide when we have to go in the porta potty.
They can like vote it. It's like the gong show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. I think that's good.
Anyway.
Do you know what I did?
I was going to bring up, as maybe our last topic, we were going to talk about Nosferatu. I think you had some questions for me.
I just want to know, how can I say this delicately? Why are you interested in a conjugal relationship with that demon?
Right. Let me explain. So, I guess spoilers for Nosferatu. I have to describe his appearance a little bit here.
He's hot as fuck.
He's quite tall, I think. He's quite tall.
Okay, alpha.
Shadowy figure.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Definitely a different take on the Dracula aesthetic because Nosferatu, I was looking it up. Apparently it's like there was a silent film called Nosferatu that was based on Dracula, but they called it something else so as not to have to like pay for the rights to Dracula.
So yeah, it's a good movie.
This is a remake of that and they just kept it as Nosferatu. So it's like kind of it's a recreation of a ripoff of Dracula. But actually, let me, like, right now as I'm talking, look up what Nosferatu looked like in the silent film. I think I've seen a picture of it.
Well, do you ever watch SpongeBob?
Yeah.
Because he was in SpongeBob every once in a while. They would use him as, like, a meme. He'd be turning the lights on and off.
For real? I do not remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be like, Nosferatu. And then he would be, like, clicking the lights. I think it was maybe just in one episode, but... it's a really cool
looking
movie.
There's no way kids would know who that was, though. Like, that was just a joke
for
the grown-ups,
I
guess.
They just thought it was, like, the most horrific demon suddenly appearing on screen during SpongeBob.
Well, he is. So, I'm looking at pictures of him now in the silent film, and he's bald, and he looks terrified, and he has, he's got the Buff Carell eyebrows, you know who Buff Carell is?
Never heard of that.
Look him up. Those who know... Well, no. He's a guy that posts many, many dance and song covers
every single day from his room. He's got crazy eyebrows. He's got crazy hair. He puts about a pound of gel in his hair every day. He's been making videos on like Twitter and YouTube every single day for over a decade. Incredible guy. But
he's jacked.
Yeah, he's buff. He's buff Corral. Anyway, Nosferatu, bald in the old one. He's bald. He's got on this long coat with many, many buttons. It must take him a while to button that up. And he's got these long fingers, kind of a salad fingers vibe. Nosferatu in the new one, again, go see it if you haven't. It's actually incredible as a horror movie. I really liked it. He's tall. He's shadowy. You don't really get a good look at him at first. So he's got kind of a mysterious aura. And he's got a big old handlebar mustache, which is incredible. That's like the best thing about the whole movie is his mustache. I've been tweeting about his mustache. I don't know if you've noticed, but I think about it all the time. Big old mustache, lots of opportunities in the movie for blood to be dripping off the mustache. Really incredible choice on their part. And he's wearing a fur hat and a big fur coat. And he's got that thick Transylvanian accent. He's like rolling all of his consonants, like the rrr.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, I think I found a picture of him.
And
but it's
he
hard
is,
to tell because when you search up Nosferatu mustache, it just shows you Willem Dafoe's character, who also has a fantastic mustache. So I wish I could see an easy picture of him.
I think a lot of the posters and stuff, they haven't really been showing fully what he looks like. You got to go to the cinema for that experience.
Which is a good choice. I like that. I respect that.
Yeah. So very different take on the Dracula aesthetic, like I said. I really was not expecting him to look like that. As for why he's attractive...
I was like, yeah, you still haven't answered my question.
and he's also like very decayed. Like his skin is like half decayed.
Okay.
But he does still have some hair. The attractiveness is about the vibes. And I'm not saying I'm attracted to him, okay? But I'm explaining.
You guys hear that tone in her voice when she said that? I just want to a fourth wall break. You heard the tone. I'm not saying I'm attracted to him. Just make a note of that, okay, everybody? Make a note. Continue.
I just... It's about the obsession. Okay, so the whole thing, again, spoilers, but do you even want to hear this? Are you going to watch it? It's good.
Oh, no way. Zero chance. I might watch the first and last 20 minutes, but...
Okay, the whole thing is the main girl...
No, I don't like that kind of stuff. Scary shit, no way.
The main girl is... The way they explain it is she has kind of a special connection to the world of spirits and demons or whatever. She's like, you know, closer to that realm than the rest of us. And so she's grown up hearing voices of spirits and getting freaked out by it and whatever. And one night she prays for some kind of spirit to keep her company and love her. I don't remember exactly what she says, but she wants like love and protection.
Yeah.
And Nosferatu answers that. So I think he was actually like dead.
How did he hear it?
I think he was dead in the ground and he revived because of her prayer, I think is how I interpreted it.
Okay.
And he's a vampire and he lives in a castle and he has to get back to his coffin before sunrise. And I think that he just sucks blood for sustenance or recreation. I don't think when he sucks people's blood, when he bites people, they turn into vampires. I don't think that's part of the lore.
Okay.
He just like sometimes ends up killing people because he sucks all of their blood out.
Right. Oopsie daisies.
Right. Go a little too
hard.
He
doesn't seem to care though. He seems pretty detached.
Care about what?
That he's killing people on accident.
No, he really enjoys killing people. He wants to kill a lot of people.
Oh. And how does she feel about this?
So anyway, she makes this prayer and Nosferatu lives pretty far away, but he basically like tells her one day I'm going to come for you.
How does he do this? In a letter?
And so
or like
a bunch
through
of
the spirit
time,
realm.
A bunch of time passes and she gets married and she's happy with her husband and she's haunted by these dreams of Nosferatu still.
because
like sexy dreams.
Kind of. That's the thing, is she's like, they're scary because he has this horrible energy of death and wants to kill everybody. But he also loves her very much and is obsessed with her and needs her because that's what she prayed for.
Okay. All right. I have questions, but continue.
So anyway, the action of the movie happens when he finally finds a way to get to her, and he's like killing all these people along the way, and his one desire is to kind of be with her and kind of drink her blood, both, I would say.
Okay, that was one of my questions. Yeah, is he like, what's he in it for? Like, is he mostly in it for the blood?
Yeah. And she says one of these dreams that she has when he's coming for her is, she says she dreams that she's marrying him, and the moment that she's marrying him, she's like happier than she's ever been in her life. But then she turns around and everybody in the audience of the marriage is dead, and then she dies, I think. So for her, it's like this battle between this like moment of ecstasy and happiness that lasts for like a second with him versus, you know, being with her real husband who's alive that she loves. Because I think, and here's the crux of the issue, right? I think it's the same thing as Edward in Twilight, where there's a part of us that wants to be loved so obsessively that they would like kill everybody in the world to be with you.
Yeah. Well, that is a very, and I'm curious if this is what Nosferatu is. Is it really just sort of a metaphor for that deeply human struggle? Is it mostly about that? Or is it like just a scary movie that has themes? Because that is, yeah, obviously that's like a common thing that people struggle with, of like, do I want to just go and live a sort of short-term pleasure life or a long-term pleasure life? Like, we're always balancing these two things. But it sounds like the movie, what is the lesson? Does she end up going with Nosferatu, or does she decide that she wants to be happy forever with her husband?
She goes with Nosferatu because otherwise he will kill everybody in the city.
So if we read the metaphor into that, it's basically saying like, if you flirt with the devil, and you can, you know, interpret that however you want. For some people, it's like love and lust. And for some people, it's drugs. And for some people, it's whatever. If you flirt with the devil's going to come for his end of the bargain. Mm-hmm. So maybe be careful. Does that feel like what the lesson is? Like, maybe just don't take step one, because once you take step one, you're going to have to take step 10. And step 10 is everybody dies.
For sure. But I think there also is that kind of romantic undertone, like you were saying, of like short-term versus long-term.
So when I saw the Bob Dylan movie, they played a trailer for this, and the trailer made it look like...
Bob Dylan, very similar to Nosferatu, by the way.
In so many ways. Also an extremely unhealthy person to be in a relationship with. based on the movie. But they made it seem like she did not seem that conflicted in the trailer. Like, the trailer had a part where she like looked at her husband and she was like, no, his dick is way bigger than yours. Like, basically she said that. And so I was like, I thought it was just going to be about her descent into the chaos that comes with giving into lust, you know? But it sounds like it's a little more complex than that.
Yeah, I would say so. Because he's not attractive at all. I think that's part of it. Is that he's so gross.
You never see these, no person, and I feel like it happens with women a lot, but like, I feel like some men will have these fantasies as well, but you hear this a lot with like women who really want to fuck, not Gollum, what's his name? I'm thinking of the guy from Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, just like these monsters, these like sexy monsters.
Yeah.
Gollum is not one of them. They're never, the fantasy is never, I want to marry this monster and get snuggled by him and watch movies with him. No, you want like the short-term, like explosive chaos. That's what these monsters are for primarily. Mm-hmm. No one is having a fan fiction where they, you know, they do their taxes with Nosferatu or navigate their parents Nosferatu. You know, just the complicated life things. Like, and that's the unfortunate thing about these
Nosferatu
fantasies.
Nosferatu notices your temporary moment of grief and squeezes your hand gently.
That's pretty good. You came up with that right now off the dome?
He kisses your forehead.
You've been thinking about it since you saw the movie, huh?
And you feel his mustache fibers brush against your skin.
Okay. All right. Nosferatu. Never mind. I'm not going to go down that road.
Anyway, you wanted the explanation. All right, well, that's my explanation.
Okay. Yeah. No,
like
well,
I said,
it's, you know,
I'm not attracted
well,
to him.
Well, originally
so
I was
going to
just,
but...
I was just going to say a list of monsters to see if you weren't attracted to them or whatever, you know? But then, oh, my guy's leaving. Don't leave. Go back.
Did you click on something?
I don't think so, but you know, like Gollum, nobody wants to do anything with Gollum. But like Davy Jones, kind of hot.
Davy Jones is kind of hot. Other, he's got swag.
From,
that's different.
Davy Jones does have swag. The fish from Shape of Water. Obviously, the movie was kind of about that, which I didn't see it, of course.
I still haven't seen that. Is he hot?
People talk about wanting to have sex with the fish man. Mm-hmm. And I think the lady in the movie finds him attractive, but I don't really know the details of that. So it's a thing. It's a thing for sure. I think what you said is basically what
it speaks
towards.
I wonder if he has sex like a fish. Have you seen fish have sex?
Yeah, all the time. No, I've never seen fish have sex.
They're
have
just
you?
Like, they're just like next to each other,
yeah,
vibrating
I thought they just like
really
come
hard.
In the water. The fish comes in the water and then the other fish swims into it, right?
I hate that you just said
we don't
that.
Have to talk about this if you don't want to, but you did bring it up.
I'm sure it's different for different fish. I do, yeah, I think there are some that just like the female lays eggs and then the male can fertilize them of his
yeah,
own
so it's
accord.
Just
but I have seen two fish supposedly having sex and they were just like, they were next to each other, like right and left side. Didn't really make sense to me how that works, but they were just like vibrating together.
Not, must feel
I didn't seek
I
that
guess.
Out. I didn't seek that out. I don't remember how I saw it. Anyway, anything else? We
all right, one more thing. A last thing that I'll say today is I did start playing the Talos Principle. I did not get very far,
gosh.
But I did start playing it. So in theory, at some point, I will beat those games. So far, my impression is I'm playing the first one, even though you said the second was better, but I took your advice and I'm playing the first one. Mm-hmm. I love puzzle games. I just love them. So I'm excited
Same.
To go through it. But
Same.
I have not experienced any of the transcendental whatever. Right now, it's just like some guy in a deep voice telling me things about God. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, the first one's pretty slow burn with that stuff. The second one is much
sure.
more
yeah.
like overt. But I'm not going to even talk about it that much because
yeah.
I don't want to put too much pressure on
you. I don't even
want to
bring
you.
It up until
yeah.
when I beat it. We'll talk about it again. I'm not going to give updates every week.
Right.
But I just wanted you to know I did start it. So
Good.
In theory... I will finish it.
Lots of people in the comments were excited about you playing that too. So,
yeah, I look forward
you have
to.
Lots of support.
It immediately reminds me of The Witness, which we talked about briefly.
I
do.
I know.
Love
I'm so
that
glad
game.
You like The Witness. I love that game.
It's yeah. I think that game is like top quality, and it's one of those games that like is a goated game, but I always forget that it exists. And then when I remember, I'm like, this should be on the list for me in
yeah.
so many ways.
You should play like Myst
excellent.
And Riven and all those too.
Maybe. Yeah, I could see that. You know me though. I just like don't end up playing stuff very much. So.
Right. But on the 1% chance that you ever were like thinking of a game to play. There's also a game that was heavily inspired by the Myst series that I really, really liked. That's called Kern. I don't really know how you... pronounce it, but it's Q-U-E-R-N.
Never heard of it.
That one was also really good. Just for any listeners that like games like that and want more of them, that one was like, I feel like just as good as Myst and stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah. You know, I'm also playing, this is not going to mean anything to you, but I'm playing Call of Duty Black Ops 6.
Mm-hmm.
I like Call of Duty. I'm just going to say it. You play those games on the hardest difficulty and you really got to, you're just like sitting in these little places taking one or two shots, trying not to die all the time. You move through it real slow. I think those games are fun. I like them. So Black Ops 6 campaign, thumbs up from me. Shout out not Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr.
Shout out. Facts, no cap.
Okay.
See you guys next time.